Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
45.
It's a touchdown.
Everybody, 40, 30, 10, touchdown.
It's a touchdown.
Listen to the Hoodats.
Brad Sham, Babe Laufenberg with the call of Packers 2.0. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live with a sobering Cowboys Monday on DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan. We got Peyton Russell in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. How did this not feel like Green Bay in the playoffs?
Well, there's a game this week. That's okay. About the only way.
That's good.
That's it. Because other than that, there's a whole lot of similarities here. They got gashed in the run, just like the Green Bay game. The quarterback was able to come up with some third down passes, just like Jordan Love was. The quarterback was largely untouched, and the defense. The offense was look. The offense in the Green Bay game put up a lot of points. You know, the offense in this game scored on a lot of drives. But it didn't matter, and it wasn't enough. There's a whole lot of similarities here. I mean, this was an embarrassing assert your dominance type football game from the Saints.
They were better defensively against Green Bay. That's how it was different.
Better defensively?
Todd Archer had the tweet yesterday. So in the wild card loss, the Packers scored 27 points, had 13 first downs and 217 yards while going 5 of 6 on third down in the first half against Dallas. The Saints had 35 points, 14 first downs, over 300 yards of offense, and converted every third down opportunity.
Because the Saints, the Packers at two had a pick six.
They had short fields they were working with a lot of times. This was just New Orleans going, we'll take the ball down the field on you every single time. We're not worried about it. And we'll do it in four plays.
And literally, the word literally jumped out to me yesterday. You literally could not stop them on every single Alvin Kamara rushing attempt. You literally did not have guys around him within a 5 or 6 yard span. They literally scored on every single possession, and you were completely, literally helpless defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single time, like automatic. Like it was a video game until the fourth quarter, and you finally got a stop.
Kamara score or Kamara rushed for 115 yards yesterday. He had 6 yards per carry. What was his long carry of the day? It replayed in snacks when I told the guys this yesterday, but what was his long carry for the day?
17?
15 yards, which means he was just consistently every time going for 8 yards every time you handed it to him. Like it's not like he was gashing it or like skewing the numbers. He was taking the ball and 8 to 10 yards every single time. Mm-hmm. It's not a problem.
Cows lose, cows stink.
And it didn't matter. It was up the middle. It was to the edge. I mean, he got the corner so easily. It was really just a demoralizing game. And it started from the beginning, for the very first drive. Like, that set the tone. That first drive just set the tone for the entire game. And they were like, oh. That was like, because it wasn't like, you know, they did a big chunk play. I mean, there was a chunk play, but it was like mostly like just bam, 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 the whole way down the field. And the Cowboys got the start at the 20. It's not like, you know, they kicked it into the end zone. It was an original touchback. I mean, that was a long field.
Every single thing that you felt and said about Mike Zimmer with glowing praise after the Browns game is the total complete opposite. For the Mike Zimmer fans, like Bobby and I assume Brian brought us, you felt fantastic. Today you look terrible. Today you look awful. And Mike Zimmer looked like he saw a ghost. In fact, though, it wasn't a ghost. It was just a protege, or it was someone that worked with him a long, long time ago. Clint Kubiak destroyed Mike Zimmer. And Choppy, during the defensive coordinator search, you did not want someone who had been around a while, just someone young, someone with new, innovative ideas. So you got a big win yesterday, as a lot of Tolos were saying. There's a reason that Mike Zimmer did not have a job. Enough with these old, outdated schemes, whatever you associate with an older coach, as you wanted someone younger yesterday. That makes you question everything and go back to appreciate Dan Quinn, or at least compare him to Dan Quinn with the Packer loss.
And Dan, they're like, you know, Dan was fine. There was nothing wrong with Dan.
He did a nice job.
He did a really nice job here. You know, he got a head coaching job. Of course you're going to take it. You know, it's not like they wanted Dan out, although they may have wanted Dan out, right? You know,
some people did.
So, yeah, everybody runs their course at some point. But, I think Mike is still a good coach. I don't think he's a bad football coach. I had the preference of, let's just get fresh ideas in here, young ideas. We've seen the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, I just wonder how Mike, who's been in this league forever, was going to handle, like, the offenses as they continue to progress.
I don't think fresh ideas is the problem, like with Zimmer. Zimmer's generally pretty forward-thinking. Zimmer does a lot of different things that are on the cutting edge. He's somebody who is, I think, a really good defensive coordinator. Yesterday was bad. I think yesterday was an example of why you saw Dan Quinn run the defense the way he did over the years, where it was just Dan Quinn got here, and he's generally been pretty static throughout his career, but he's done some disguising and done some different things with his safeties over the years that he didn't do here. Where he's like, I have to have Marquise Bell play linebacker. I have to have this guy play here, this guy over here. This is not his strength. Damone Clark doesn't seem like he reads things very well. I need to have everything just get you into position before the snap, and I'll show you what the coverage is going to look like. That's fine. You can have that advantage, because I'm going to have the advantage of knowing my guys are not going to bust the play, because they're going to know exactly what they're supposed to do, and if they execute, they'll be better than you, and we'll win that way. So that's a very conservative approach, but you don't get gashed for, like, big mix-ups and communication issues. And the Cowboys have had communication issues a lot lately. Mike Zimmer is one of these guys who says, no, I'm going to show you three different looks before the snap, make you think it's three different things. The problem is that if you've got players who don't communicate very well or who don't read things very well, they may think they're in the wrong coverage by the time the ball is snapped. And then you've got massive issues and massive busts. And you have trade-offs here. You have certain things that you give and take when you go from somebody like Quinn to Zimmer, who likes to really disguise things.
The Saints scored 47 last week, 35 in the first half, tied for the most that the Dallas Cowboys have ever given up in a half. They started off 5-for-5 with touchdown drives. The 11-point deficit, the most that the Cowboys had faced since Week 16, 2020, against Philadelphia. Choppy, the Saints scored 3 touchdowns in their first 12 plays.
Is that good?
3-12. That is very, very, yeah. Very, 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 very good.
I thought, you know, like going... Very so this good. Is what, when you're getting beat like this, like, you look for anything. So when it turns to the second quarter, I'm like, oh, you know what? They're going the other way. Maybe this is going to stall their offense down. Okay, and of course it didn't, because like 2 plays later, you had the screen to Kamara.
Mike McCarthy on the game, the embarrassment, and the loss after.
You need adversity games like this. You definitely don't want to ever perform like this. They played well. Give them credit. But yeah, I think like all of us, you know, we're disappointed with our performance today. But you know, the true reality is we'll take the film tomorrow. That'll tell the complete story. And there's no burn the tape. You know, I'll sit here. So we don't. You know, that's not the way I've ever operated. So we will take a hard look at it. Because we all need to learn from it. You know, we got a new defensive staff, and this is the first time, you know, we were on cloud 9 last week, and now we got punched, and no differently offensively. You know, we did not handle the adversity part of it to keep pace with the way the game was going. So, and more importantly, our young players, they need to learn from this experience. So that's where we are, 1-1.
I don't put this game on Mike McCarthy yesterday at all. That's absurd to say that at the beginning. You need games like this. No, you don't. You don't. You had your game like this against Green Bay or whatever last year. Like, you don't need games where you have no idea. I don't care. You don't need games where you look like you have no clue where you're going. Or you don't need games where it's like, yeah, we don't look very physical today. Like, you don't need that. That's a ridiculous statement. That's coach speak trying to spin what is just an absolutely awful game. You can't justify anything about that game.
Coach is also, I mean, we've always said this, you know, if you get a Nick Saban out there and they have a bad performance and they win, like that's always his best, his favorite thing, because he can coach like crazy the next week. Now, is it different for professionals? Absolutely. But we've said that before.
New team, but some of the same traits as Broadus and Zach talked about in the post game show. Jerry Jones talked about it with the KMC masterpiece. They cannot play from behind, front running bullies, and then physicality. Someone comes in here, punches you right in the mouth, like McCarthy said, and you fold up. And I was hoping with Mike Zimmer and a rougher attitude and some of the linebacking changes that it would not be the case in terms of the physicality and getting pushed around. All I care about from the tape watchers is the run defense evaluation after this. Where was Micah Parsons? Where was Tank Lawrence? Where was Overshown? Howard Diggs and the rest of the secondary in terms of run support? That's what I want to know, and that's what I want Mike McCarthy to replay over and over and over when it comes to this team's film sessions. Jerry Jones, what concerned you the most about Zimmer's D?
Fundamentally, I think that their outside runs were the thing that got my attention the most. They were seemingly walled off our linebackers and were able to not get the inside pursuit. And with that, I'd say that in a nutshell. But that's not really what this is about. What this is about is this is early. The big lesson here is you can get to thinking you've got it figured out way too early in the game. We're 1-1, and we've got to learn, and this group right here has got to learn from what they experienced out there today.
And what we talked about on Friday, knock-knock with the jinx, the reverse jinx, the shanks, this team handles teams at home, especially when they are favored. They handle them, and this has not happened in a long time in the regular season.
No, but based on the cheering, that was kind of a Saints home game, so that didn't really...
Bobby, how many Saints fans were there as they held a parade afterwards, a marching band in the parking lot?
Hang on. Who travels with a tuba? Who does that? That's not normal. Who travels with a tuba?
Band
there was
nerd.
Two tubas on the street. Who travels... with a tuba or a French horn. I mean, who does that?
I mean, that's just New Orleans, right? Like, you walk around, like, anytime you go out onto the streets of New Orleans, there's, like, random parades and people playing brass instruments and stuff. It was like a third. It was probably something roughly a third of the crowd was Saints fans. I mean, it was a bunch. You could hear, it was not too deep into that game before you were hearing Hoodat chants really, really loud.
What was it like in the locker room?
Everybody always is super mad when they get the doors blown off like that. Eric Kendricks was, I'll give credit to a couple guys who I think were ready to stand up there and talk and take every question. Eric Kendricks was like that. CeeDee Lamb was like that. A couple other guys talked and there, but I mean, they were clearly just not about it, not having it. But I mean, Kendricks had said yesterday when talking about it, he was like, yeah, this is something that you don't just forget about this game. You need to spend the next 24 hours really meditating on, like, what the hell did you put out there today? And, you know, he said, this was a really good piece of humble pie. This reminds us where exactly we are and what we need to fix. And so I think that overall, it was a lot of anger, a lot of pissed off. But, like, what do they do with that? Is that pouting or is that upset with yourself and wanting to get better?
Does Mike McCarthy see and feel the similarities between this and the Packers playoff loss?
Well, I don't think, you know, the last time we played here has anything to do with it. I understand the convenience of the criticism, and obviously I'm on the other side of it. So, but, yeah, I think, you know, we've had changes on defense. You know, some of the changes we made was to put the emphasis on the run defense. It was not evident today. I mean, no doubt about it. They got the ball on our perimeter, you know, time and time again. In the second level. So we need to play much better. I need to coach better. And, you never want to play that way, especially at home.
877-881-1053 is the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. 190 rush yards and touchdowns on their first six drives to start the game. It was like 11 on 8 out there, and we have to break it down even further to Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown brought to you by Crown Royal. Let's pick the Cowboys apart just like the Saints did, next on Sean and RJ.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
First down, Prescott back. Good block from Steele over the middle. Pass is intercepted at the 35-yard line as Jalen Brooks fell down. And running around, it's Paulson Adebo, and he's running to the right now, to the 45, to the 40. Adebo right to the 30, got Prescott turned around, and Prescott and Zeke Elliott tackle him.
And that's when I knew it was over. I know it's going to sound naive. Many of you with the crystal ball are going to say, much earlier than that, you're just hanging on to hope. After CeeDee Lamb scored his touchdown, I was like, all right, we got a shootout. I think Kevin Burkhardt said that on television. That was the radio call on your home of the Cowboys, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Thanks to the 6 a.m. Club representing strong on YouTube, Twitch, and the fan cam. But this is Jalen Brooks stumbling and being at fault for the interception that Dak Prescott threw. It was 28-13 at this point. If you can score a touchdown, you're fine. If you can get points via field goal, okay, you're still within striking distance.
And you get the ball.
And you get the ball. The interception before the half, a 45-yard return. Derek Carr sneaks it in, 35-13, game over. But I still had hope that this was going to be a shootout back and forth. Carr will cool down. He'll make a mistake. Micah Parsons will show up. They'll get a third down stop. They'll get some type of stop. Mike Zimmer adjustments at halftime to try to stop Kamara, but I still had hope up until that interception. That was the final nail and over for me.
That was it. That was it, because that was, you had, like you said, you say you score there, it's 28-20, 28-16, and then you get the ball, and they do get a field goal, so it could be at best 28-23, and you've got a dogfight, because the Saints aren't going to sit there and run, maybe not run the same kind of offense they did on that first drive. That first drive...
The first drive out of the half.
That to me was far more embarrassing than any of the drives in the first half, because you had a chance to go in and reset. Okay, you were back to the drawing board. Hey guys, you know, you got 16 minutes at halftime. You knew what they were going to do. They were up big. They were up by 20, and you still couldn't stop it. Right? I mean, it is now maybe at 35-13. with 11 minutes to go in the third quarter is too early to start taking the air out of the ball. But they did. And that was like an 8-minute drive. And to me, that is the biggest star down of the entire day, is that one drive. That one drive has, I mean, you could sit there and you can do an entire coaching lesson on that one drive. Tackles getting blown off the ball, not being able to set the edge, not being able to stop anybody. If they wanted to pass, they could. I mean, they had everything going on that one drive, and it took forever. It took forever. It was an 8-minute drive, and they scored it.
And that is when they finally, I think this is the drive, they finally got a third down stop, Jordan Lewis penalty.
Yeah.
3rd and 9. Oh, my gosh. Way too many times recently, I've been watching Cowboy games, and I'm like, man, I'd be so thankful for one stop. Again, the word literally. One, just one stop. I tweeted, give a standing ovation if they get one stop. And we're talking about this into the second half, midway through the third quarter. Can you just get one, like one for any type of glimmer of hope? And then Kamara scored his fourth touchdown as the Saints just continued to pour it on.
That fourth touchdown, that was when you could tell the defense is like, we're not making a play today. Like, I mean, he ran right into traffic like three different times and nobody brought him down. It's like, tackle the guy. Like I understand he's really difficult to bring down. He's a bowling ball. When he's in that much traffic, knock him over. Just make a play. And they weren't doing that. Like, I mean, linebackers were late to the ball all day. The defensive tackles were bad. I watched back some of the game, just the TV copy last night, and Linval Joseph was awful. He was just putrid in this game. And the defensive tackle play was not very good, which is going to affect the linebackers, but the linebackers were late. And Damone Clark was not very good. Eric Kendricks was not very good in this game.
Let's get to Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the National Football League. And you said something last night, and then in the commercial break, explain the snap disparity between Damone Clark and Overshown, 41-18?
Yeah, I'd love to explain it. I don't understand it. Yeah, Damone Clark played 41 snaps. Maris Leifau played 39 snaps. DeMarvian Overshown played 18. So DeMarvian Overshown was essentially out of the guys, you exclude the guys you bring in and blow out time like Nick Vigil and Israel Mukwamu. Overshown pretty much played the fewest snaps of any rotational defensive player.
Try
yesterday.
And explain it.
The only
what
thing
matchup wise would make Zimmer be like, all right, Overshown out here against these guys would not work.
You wouldn't want him out there with Kamara there. He's too fast. You wouldn't want him out there.
He's your lightest linebacker. So I don't know. They're worried about him being able to against a guy like Kamara and against a physical game. They're worried about him coming off blocks. That's the only thing I can think. But even still, I think that's silly.
Like, your chance his knee was like just tight,
maybe. I don't think so, though. Like, because I asked around from people last night, like, is he hurt, is he banged up, and everything I heard was like, nope, no, he's good. So to me, it seemed like it was just a matchup thing, because it was, and I guess it's just they felt like he is, like we've talked about, he's a thinner linebacker. He's not as stout as Leifau. He's not as stout as Clark or Kendricks. And so the only thing I could think is this is going to be a power run game, and we don't want him getting, you know, moved in there because he's a little lighter.
Who else is on your star down list?
Everybody. So I had put it in my mail last night. This is a game where you could honestly put 30 players with star downs. So instead, I pulled up the roster while I was sitting up there at AT&T Stadium doing my email, and I just looked, and from player number one, literally wearing jersey one, all the way down to 99. I just went down. I was like, let me pick out the ones who are the absolute worst as I just go down the list. So very top of the list, number four, Dak Prescott. And I know, like Brian said in the post game, that he thought,
here we go,
Dak kept them in a lot of this game. I thought Dak was really timid early, and then it was reckless late. And to me, there was never the right balance. He didn't strike the right balance with a lot of the stuff that he was doing at the line of scrimmage. But I will say, did you notice what Brady said during the game? I think it was like during the second quarter, where he essentially said what we were talking about at the end of last week. He's like, this is not Mike McCarthy's offense anymore. Like, this is Dak runs the offense.
Yeah.
So that's
and
improvement.
That's the offense was not good enough or consistent enough. And so if Dak is running the offense, that falls on Dak.
I don't, there was, it felt like there was a lot of Scott Linehan yesterday. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of passes that were thrown to stationary guys coming back towards the line of scrimmage.
Very different. I don't know what they were trying. I don't know if it's just they were.
You see that too? It seemed like they were all coming back towards the line
of scrimmage. I don't know what they were doing with the offense yesterday. There was stuff in there that we don't see consistently there. They were running Zeke outside. They were running Deuce Vaughn inside. They were throwing like these quick like smoke routes to Kevontae Turpin to try. I don't know if it's just they felt like this team's too physical. We can't win between the tackles, so we got to get guys in space. But man, there was a lot of just quick throw. All right, let's try and put it out here on an island and see if they can make a play. They almost called this game early on like scared of the physicality.
Look, I thought that Dak was better yesterday than he was against the Browns, and I think he was better yesterday than he was against the Packers in the playoff loss.
Sure.
There's a reason that we all just said we felt like before Jalen Brooks calls the interception, the Cowboys kind of still had a chance because the offense was scoring. Now, the big problem, and I feel like deja vu talking about this last year, red zone finishing, right? All the Brandon Aubrey field goals. You did not have Jake Ferguson out there. That speaks to a weapons issue, wide receiver, depth, Dak not making guys better, but... I'm not ready at this point. It's 6:29 in the morning to get into the Dak Prescott fight with those who just want to continue to blame him at the same level as Mike Zimmer and the defense, because I'm not going to accept that. Again, not great. I like what you said about reckless late, but they scored on their first, what, five drives? They scored on their
six.
Four out of their first five drives? Something like that?
Oh, Dallas did. Yeah,
Dallas. Yeah. So the offense was matching. And then the Jalen Brooks interception, I thought, ended it all.
I guess I look at it like this. You got field goals your first two drives because you couldn't execute when things got tight. That's a problem to me. And then on the touchdown, that's CD made a play.
Yeah.
And so to me, it felt like that's one touchdown, and it felt like kind of a fluky CD going all world against two defenders kind of thing. So to me, it's like didn't do enough.
Yeah, but what was Dak doing bad up until that? Like the Zeke underthrow... This one almost drove me crazy on social media. I stayed away from replying, but he got hit. He had pressure. That's why the throw to Zeke came up short in the right flat. Like, oh, and I think Brady was even a little bit unfair. Like, you just got to make that throw.
I'll be really interested to see when Seth Walder gives us the motion numbers this week, because I think that was another problem. Dallas was way too static this week. They were too willing to just, all right, let's line it up and go. They didn't do a lot of motion at all.
Dak Prescott, were you surprised with how the Saints picked apart y'all's defense?
Yeah, it's surprising, but it's the NFL. I'm thinking it'd be nice to be doing that on our side of the ball more than I'm worried or critiquing our defense. Obviously, that's a good team. I mean, Alvin Kamara's look damn good. Derek Carr put the ball where he needed to. That offense is rolling right now. I mean, we're two games in, but I'm not naive to their stats of, you know, or whatever it was, the nine straight, and then they walked into this game and continued on that. So, I mean, credit to the play caller over there, to that team of coming out, being ready on a noon start. And, it made it tough on our defense, which made it tough on the whole team. So I'm trying to get there with our offense.
Cam just said it on Twitch. The Saints finished their drives. Dallas did not. Sean, wish I'd watched the same game you saw. Their offense was fine early on. It just was. I know you want them to score an end result in every single touchdown, but it was a back and forth game early on in this one. It was 21-13.
They were putting points on the board.
They were like down eight. They weren't finishing with touchdowns. It was 21-13. And then they were on the way to try to score before the half, and the interception ended the football game. I'm not going to sit here and praise Dak in the second half, but this was not as bad as the Packer game when it felt like he was choking.
The Packer game was worse.
I remember watching throws, thinking like he's shriveling, he's crumbling. I didn't feel that yesterday.
Still below AT&T standards. So when they're at home, this was the lowest scoring game they've had at home in over 2 years. So it was still very underwhelming.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, part of that though is like, you know, the Saints did control. I mean, the clock was controlled by the Saints for a large part of this game. Like, you know, they basically lost the entire third quarter on one drive.
Yeah, in the third quarter. But I mean, before that, there was a 9 second drive in there. There was a 2 minute drive in there. They were scoring quick early.
There's no doubt about that. Look, I don't want to give this guy a ton of a star down, but because he did have the most pressures on the team. Micah, there's no way Micah could look at this game and thought that he had a good game. I mean, he did not even show up in the stat sheet at all, hardly. He had, what, three tackles, which, again, Carr only had 16 dropbacks. So it's not like you're going to get a ton of pressures there. But when they did, except for the what? The Shaheed touchdown? Blatant hold on Micah. Blatant hold that they missed. But other than that, I don't even think I heard his name.
I saw some leadership. He was in a lot of those sideline huddles. And afterwards, he was defending Mike Zimmer like it was Uncle Dan Quinn. To me, quote, it had nothing to do with the scheme. I thought Zimmer called a pretty good game. At the end of the day, I just believe we got outplayed. Whoever played on that field, everyone didn't play to 100%. That's just me being accountable and saying the truth. We all got to play better.
Per Next Gen, his get-off time of, stop it, 0.99 seconds was the fifth slowest of his career. Whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
That's the snap of the ball. So basically, if it's
like 0.9, a pop time, catch a pop time.
Yeah, I would have to look at. I would assume that means he is about a second. He's not moving until about a second after the ball's been snapped.
Let's take some calls
in this game. Yeah. Fifth slowest of his career.
Let's take some calls. Let you unleash. I can see it boiling on social media, fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Let's just go ahead and do it. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053 for your Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL, next on Sean and RJ.
And here's Carr under center, play action, back, steps up, hit as he throws deep to the middle to Shaheed, caught it over the top of Donovan Wilson, and strolls in for a 70-yarder.
The calls have exploded already on the DNM leasing hotline. That's what that type of loss and game calls for. You to unleash here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, your home of the Cowboys. 877-881-1053. Fan replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. What happened there, by the way? What happened there between Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson? Is that Hooker's main responsibility? It looked like they were playing zone, passed off. And it looked like Wilson was there first, and then Hooker was playing catch-up, or was it vice versa?
I'm going to have to ask about it, but the way the coverage, that just looked like two deep safeties, and he ran through the zone, and was just, they were too not, fast. He was way, it looked like he just, they were not anticipating how fast he was going to get there.
After that, Derek Carr was averaging 22 yards per attempt with a perfect first half rating. Not first quarter, it was longer than that. Perfect first half rating.
At the end of the first half, New Orleans was averaging 12 yards a play.
Woo!
Which is absurd.
He only had 11 completions for 243 yards. Like, that's high. Hit a 99.4 QBR. That's out of 100. Like, QBR doesn't get the 99.
But, like, I think he had too few attempts to even qualify for the leaderboard this week.
Let's let the Tolos go off. Leroy in Dallas. Leroy, you're first up on Sean and RJ. Go ahead, boss.
Hey, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you getting me on first. So I've called in numerous times. I've been through this years and years. I'm pretty young. Didn't see a Super Bowl, like really seen it. But this is the same year, same thing we've been going through. Dak cannot throw the ball and lead it to anybody. Dak threw a ball and almost got CD's head taken off. When you got two guys on the sideline having a conversation, neither one of them is smiling, that means they're both down in the dumps. Same thing goes for the defense, man. This is just great that they're doing it now. It's like an early onset. It's better that they did it like this instead of having the three-game win streak going on for us to get all hype on this train. But I guarantee you later on in the season, they'll probably go on a five-, six-, seven-game win streak, and then we'll be back on that train. But, again, that can't do it, man. He doesn't have the cojones. He doesn't have that leading ball to lead a man down the field. He did it about three times, left a guy short for about three touchdowns, man. It killed me yesterday.
Thanks for the call. Man, people want to take it to four. And when I fight back against it, it makes it sound like I'm saying he played well, but I'm not. I'm just saying 1, 2, and 3 have to start defensively. It just has to. I even got pissed off at Bobby yesterday.
I could tell.
For texting, you know, something wrong with this offensive scheme, the routes. And I'm like, I don't want to hear anything in the first 90 minutes of this show that doesn't have to do with Mike Zimmer. Who's my guy? Who's our red wine buddy on the beaches of Oxnard, California?
Was.
And is going to sit there and make me look really, really stupid advocating for him. First, second, third. Last.
You must have hated Brady then yesterday.
Go ahead. People were talking about Brady's commentary. Is that you feel of that? You think Brady ripped and took Dak apart?
No. I felt like he was defending Zimmer quite a bit.
Okay.
Because he kept saying, you know, look, if you're in third and short, like he can't. They're either skipping. The Saints are either skipping third down altogether.
Yeah.
Or they're getting into third and shorts, and Mike can't dial up his unique packages, which may be very true.
Yeah.
But.
It's your fault that you're not even in a position to be able to dial up these packages.
That's the other side.
Your defense is getting shredded. That's
embarrassing.
That's humiliating for Mike Zimmer. I'll say I know Mike, his family, they may be listening and everything. I think he's a straight-up dude. He's not going to run from it. It could piss him off. He got a little sensitive in Minnesota, I think, with the play-by-play guy. That is not what he's here for. That was Dan Quinn-esque in a big moment. That was the same old crap. And they look spineless. Soft and like they were not playing with 11. And I mean, anyone else that disagrees, including Mike Zimmer, is not looking themselves in the mirror telling the truth. And I think he would.
Not playing with 11 as in it looked like they were only playing with 10 guys, or it looked like Micah Parsons wasn't even playing in this game.
None of them. I don't even care about Micah Parsons. Like Trayvon Diggs, I texted Bobby. I'm like, how is Diggs as a run defender? Because I'm not seeing. The New Orleans Saints decided at one point in this game to run to the left. We're running behind our left tackle and left guard. There's something over there, and they're not going to provide any fight back, any bounce back. And emasculation. That's what it is. I've been talking about the hot noise in this run defense for years. Babe Laufenberg, this is an L for you. And I'm going to remind you Thursday at 8:40, hopefully not another trivia L, as Babe came on before the year and he was like, who cares? It's running the football. Who cares? That's why. Yesterday was another reminder of why run defense matters, because you get the life taken out of you and everything about your manhood and your spine questioned and challenged. And we've talked about this on this show over and over and over and over again when it comes to that discussion. Jay of Fort Worth, you're up next. Jay, go ahead.
I think one of the things we probably need to take into consideration is the 12th man. What I saw back in last week with Atlanta, and now it was clearly evident with the Dallas games, people are selling their tickets off. If this is a home game, be there. If you're America's team, be there. Support the team. It just seems like everybody's given up, and they're not showing up to the important games, which is every game.
Well, a couple things work against that, right? Bobby can speak to this more. He goes to all the games as our Cowboys insider, but New Orleans is close. This is a destination place to come. Year. It happens with San Francisco. It happens with Chicago. It happens with your Pittsburgh and your Green Bays of the invasion that comes in here. People circle this. It's like me going to Vanderbilt. Yeah, I'm going to see my godson, but I picked the Alabama game. Like I want to be. You know, that's like something you circle on the calendar. Is it going to be Alabama? Is it going to be Texas? Hey, honey, let's take a road trip. Let's try to hit an NFL stadium. Let's go ahead and make that drive to Texas. AT&T.
Yeah, I mean, also, it's like a lot of Saints fans live here.
A lot of New Orleans residents
live here.
Like Katrina, people who moved displaced. After Katrina moved here. Moved There's here. A lot of people who this is where they live and make their money. And
this has not been any different from years past, and the Cowboys handle themselves as a favorite at home
always.
Almost every single
Detroit
time.
Detroit had a lot of fans here. We were at that game last year. They had a lot of fans here. The Bears always bring fans. The Packers always bring fans. The Steelers, the Niners. There's a lot of teams that always bring a ton of fans. Raiders, they always bring
and
fans
And you know
here.
What? Let me add one more thing, Jay. And I think y'all already know this, so I'm just repeating it. I don't think Jerry cares.
No.
Jerry doesn't give a rat's ass if it's 70-30. If it's, would he prefer if he could circle it? He just wants to fill it up. That's the first thing they said at training camp when we're like, where are the fans out here in Oxnard? Why isn't anyone showing up? Do you know how fast everyone re-signed up for season tickets? We blew everyone away. We lapped the field when it came to season ticket re-signs and those PSLs being paid for. Are you kidding me? They just want
to
fill.
I just had to look this up after you mentioned the Saints deciding to run it over to the left side. No team in the NFL has run the ball over left end more than the Saints this year. And I'm sure a lot of that was from yesterday.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Brandon in Dallas, you're up next on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, I appreciate the call. I appreciate you answering the call. I'm a Tolo, I love the show. But
thank you.
I just want to say one thing. You know, the Dallas defense did not show up. The offense did not show up. They just really got beat down. And it's going to be even better when the Ravens make them 1-2. Swah.
That's right. Not the most finesse matchup coming up. on Sunday with the Baltimore Ravens coming to town. Squaw. We go from Baltimore to Pittsburgh. Brian is in Pittsburgh. You're live on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Brian.
Yeah, Sean, I hear you. I understand when you say the defense, the blame of the rank got to go 1-2-3 defense, but we can't let Dak off the hook. The quarterback is important to set the tone of the game, the style of the game, the defense, their morale depends on him. We have these expectations of him before the contract. Now with this contract, the control of the offense, he's got to be better. And this team is frustrated. He talked about in that cut that you played, oh, New Orleans, night straight games, they come in. But then they talk on the other side of their mouth, oh, Green Bay game was last year. It's a different team. This team's all over the place. Being in Pittsburgh, I don't even know if I can show my face at Acrisure Stadium in a few weeks. It's disappointing. I'm 40 years old, and I'm tired of this game.
Thanks for the call, man. Look, can we all acknowledge, though, that the pressure put on the offense by the defense was suffocating? You feel like you have to score a touchdown every single time to match.
Well, when they score on every drive, you have to match it. Yeah, so absolutely, there was a lot of pressure on the offense. But, I mean, look, that's what it's the NFL. I mean, that's what's going to happen. There's a lot of teams. Now, they're not going to score 35 and a half.
Not six,
you know,
six
not,
touchdown
They're not
going
to go like that. Yeah. So the defense needs to do a better job. But, I mean, the offense absolutely could have finished off some drives.
No doubt.
Given the defense a little bit of an opportunity to maybe get a stop.
If they score a touchdown on each one of their first five drives yesterday, they're losing. They're losing the game if they do that. Like, I mean, and so that just shows you where how difficult it was. Dak was not great. That was the first start down I gave today. Dak was not great. And because Dak really is control of the offense, now he shoulders all of that. He shoulders when things are stagnant and how things are operating. That's on him now because he's taking control of that. And so I think Dak wasn't good enough yesterday, but it also was like,
I mean, they scored 16 points in the first half.
That's fine. You score 16 points
pace,
in a half.
You're on pace for 32.
Yeah.
Come on now.
You're fine.
And I'm not attacking you, Bobby.
Can't tighten. And I think everybody
agrees. I'm not saying he was good.
Sure.
But this was not Dak versus Green Bay. And I think he was better than, you know, than they were against Cleveland. You scored 16 points in the first half. You scored in your first five drives. That's good. That's good. Xavier and Graham Prairie, you're up next here on Sean and RJ.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to say, man, I got two comments and a question. My first comment is that the game between the Green Bay game was worse and this game was worse. So let's not sugarcoat. Both of them games was worse. And Mike McCarthy seems real, real delusional to me. You know what I'm saying? On this game that just happened and the players that's playing in it. And then my question is, can y'all please ask Jerry Jones to stop drafting Michigan players? Because every Michigan player that we done drafted done became a bust. Let's be real. Taco Charlton, and I'm starting to think Mozzie Smith – I don't even see him on the field no more like that.
Starting to think. A lot of people are making fun of the Cowboys with Linval Joseph. In your last second, thanks for the call, man. Your last second defensive tackle pickups. That's all true. They did try to draft someone to help. Did he play? Is he on the field?
Yeah, no, he was on the field. He was blocked into the ground several times. I saw him on the field. But no, Jordan Lewis, Michigan player, who's pretty solid. And I will say this, the lone star up I did have in my email was Luke Schoonmaker, outside of Brandon Aubrey. Luke Schoonmaker, I thought, actually was fine
yesterday.
The
one-handed catch? The one-handed lefty catch?
Six catches yesterday. He made his plays when he was called on.
The following people had more tackles than Mozzie Smith yesterday. Zeke, Dak, Lamb.
That's not great.
Is that good? I don't know.
All right. We're going to go around the rest of the NFC East, around the NFL, and then right back to the Cowboys during the commercial-free expressway. Going to try to get through it together here on Sean and RJ as the Cowboys Monday continues.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.